Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If it's the top of the hour, 3 Central Time, well, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, friends, at 844-322-2742. If there's something you'd like to talk about, we'd like to discuss it with you. Again, 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I wanted to tell our listeners about a free resource that we have available for them this month. It is a brochure called The Reformation Project. It is packed with powerful passages that speak to the heart. One of the significant events that really sparked the Protestant Reformation was Martin Luther's own personal study of the Word of God. He had joined a Augustinian monastery. He followed all the rules and regulations to a T, even went above and beyond. He set hours in confessional booths trying to confess every sin. He read, he prayed, he did everything that he was supposed to the nth degree.
He was dedicated.
That's exactly right. But none of that answered the questions of his heart. Yes. And then he opened up the Word of God, and he found truth, truth that set him free. And the Word of God speaks to the human heart. And so we have put together this brochure and filled it with passages that talk about Scripture, the Bible, the power of the Word of God, talking about the grace of God, what faith is all about, the fact that it's all rest on the shoulders of Jesus Christ and to the glory of God, what those things really mean. Those are the things that summed up the Protestant Reformation. Why? Because those are the truths that speak to the human heart. So we want to put this in your hands. It's available free of charge. Just go to our website, basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click on the link on the very first page. It'll say, request your free copy. Yeah. So click that link, follow the instructions, give us your address, and we will mail this to you. Mm-hmm. Or you can call 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Talk with Jeannie or Michelle, and they will get your information, and we will get this brochure to you. And we want you to read these passages, memorize them if you so wish, but read these often. These are the things that are going to speak to your heart on a day-to-day basis. They're going to shape your thinking and really give you a solid foundation to stand upon as far as living your life on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. So order your copy of The Reformation Project, Powerful Passages That Speak to the Heart. Order it today at basicgospel.net. Yeah.
Now, in conjunction with that, of course, and for your gift to Basic Gospel this month of October, we have the DVD series by the exact same name, The Reformation Project. We'd like for you to have a copy, and as Bob said, all you need to do to get that is go to basicgospel.net and click donate, or again, use that same number, 844-322-2742, to make your gift and request your copy of The Reformation Project. It's a wonderful new DVD series that Bob has created. We want you to have a copy of it, and it's yours, as I said, this month with your gift to Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. Well, one of the things that came out of the Protestant Reformation that has continued over these last 500 years is the tenet, the premise that we're going to stick to the Scripture alone as far as our authority in day-to-day life. And there's hundreds of passages in the New Testament and Old that lends itself to that belief. We want to look at one today, and it's out of 2 Peter chapter 1, and it says this: above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So the Bible is a compilation of books, 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. There's 40 authors that penned these words. But these authors didn't sit down and say, I want to write a story. I want to write a historical account of Israel, or I want to write some words that I think God is telling me. these guys didn't create this stuff. It's not things that came out of their imagination. These men were carried along by the Holy Spirit. They spoke from God. So the words that we read in these pages are the actual words of God. Now, when these guys penned them, they penned them in the Hebrew language, Aramaic, and common Greek of the day. Now, we've translated those. So when we read the English, you know, it's a translation. But we're reading the actual words of God, and the Holy Spirit that moved these men will move in our hearts and open our eyes and our understanding so that we will know exactly what the Word of God means. So when we read the Bible, we're not reading a story that came out of the imagination of man. We're not reading a story that a group of guys got together and made up. That would be impossible, one, because it was written over a 1,500-year period. And, you know, these prophets spoke and wrote down the words of God, you know, in their own personality, from their own sphere of influence, so to speak. But what is so miraculous is when you weave them together, they tell the singular story of Jesus. So no one would have imagined Jesus. No one would have come up with the story that God would send his son to inhabit a human body and die on a Roman cross to take away our sins. No one would have imagined resurrection. No one would have ever come up with the story that Christ was raised from the dead and that body that suffered death came out of the grave immortal and imperishable. And that because of his resurrection, we too could be raised. Nobody would have dreamed that up.
No.
That is just out of the realm of human imagination. And it's not imagination. It actually happened. God did send his son. The prophets talked about him for thousands of years. He showed up, carried out, and lived his life exactly the way the prophets had been told by God that he would live his life. He did exactly what God said he would do. He would die on a cross and would be raised again and would be ascended into heaven and would sit at the right hand of God the Father. He did exactly what God told these prophets he would do.
Yeah.
So we can count on the fact when we go into the Bible, we're reading the actual words of God. Richard?
One of the great things about the Bible for me is in its history, how they decided these various letters would be put in here, because there were other letters that said kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
The number one goal, the number one question was, do these writings change people's lives? When people read these, are they impacted for Jesus? Mm-hmm. And these letters and these gospels, especially in the New Testament, changed lives.
Yes.
And the people who were contemporary with them knew that. And it didn't matter if Jimmy and Johnny and Susie wrote something that was similar.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing against those, but they didn't change lives. It was the Spirit working through these guys to write what they wrote and then working through their words to change lives.
Yeah.
And so when Peter says the Spirit moved them, he's not kidding.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. And if in doubt, throw it out, I believe,
was the
mantra. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. It's still the first half of the 3 o'clock hour Central Time, and we'd love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. It's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to go out to San Francisco and talk to Yolanda, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, Yolanda.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
We're doing fine. What's on your mind today?
Well, I was requesting one of the free Reformation video booklets. I think it was.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, so I wanted to learn a little bit more about Martin Luther. Since we're living in those times now, I wanted to get one of the booklets that you offer.
Yeah, well, we will put you on hold and send you this this brochure with these passages. Martin Luther was a very interesting guy. I think he was born in 1483.
Yeah.
You know, he grew up, was going to be a lawyer. He ended up going the theological route. He enrolled in a monastery, became an Augustinian monk. He was a very troubled soul. He felt the weight of sin and guilt and shame on his heart very deeply. And there was nothing that he could find that would assuage that guilt, that would give him a sense of freedom. And he tried, you know, being a monk in a monastery to calm his heart, to find healing for his soul. But nothing that they told him to do touched his heart at all. And finally, he opened up the Word of God. And in the Word of God, he discovered the book of Romans, the book of Galatians, and he found out that salvation was by faith alone in Christ alone. And when he rested in the finished work of Christ, he said he felt as if he had been reborn and that the gates of paradise had been opened unto him. Well, that's the power of the Word of God. That's the power of this good news story of Jesus Christ. And so that took root in his heart, and then he started looking at what the Catholic Church was teaching as far as salvation was concerned, and they believed that Christ had a part in it, but that good works had a part in it, and so they were combining those two. And Martin Luther took a stand and said, no, we need to stick with what the Word of God alone says, that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. And he was hoping that the Catholic Church would reform its ways, but instead of that happening, they broke off and started their own thing, the Lutheran Church, and the Protestant faith was born out of that. So that's a quick overview of Martin Luther's life. He was an interesting fellow, a very smart fellow, a deeply troubled fellow. But when he found truth in the Word of God and rested in the finished work of Jesus Christ, he became a courageous fellow and a voice for the good news that changed the course of history. So, Yolanda, let me put you on hold, and we will get your address, and we'll send this to you, okay?
Thank you so much. I appreciate your help and your talk. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thanks for your call. We appreciate it. You
indeed.
Hold on, okay?
Once again, the free brochure is called The Reformation Project, and you can get yours. You can get yours on the way by going to our website at basicgospel.net. Well, guys, we had a call that came in overnight from Christian. Let's listen.
Hi, my name is Christian, and my question is, how do I talk to my Jehovah Witness friends about who Jesus is, as far as him being God, being part of the triune God, and not just a creation of Jehovah, you know, in regards to that. So what do I say to my Jehovah's Witness friends to talk to them about Jesus being God? Thank you.
Well, I think the only thing that you can do is to go into the Word of God and to show them. Now, they have their own translation. And so, for example, in John chapter 1, verse 1, here is what their translation reads. In the beginning was the Word. So that's good. That matches what most Bibles say. And the Word was with God. That's good, too. That matches what all translations say. And then it gets to the third phrase, and the Word was a little g God. So it doesn't say, as most translations do, and the Word was God, capital G. So they are purposely mistranslating that to get their viewpoint of Jesus in the mix here. They don't think he was God. They don't think he was co-equal. They don't think there's a Trinity. And so instead of translating the verse as it was written, they bring in their own interpretation. And the Word was a little g God. So I think you have to show them what it really says in the Scripture and leave the results in God's hands. There's a couple of other passages that you can point to. I would point them to Mark chapter 2, to the story of the paralytic. So the four friends bring their friend, the paralytic, to Jesus. There were so many people in the house, they couldn't make their way into the house to put the paralytic in front of Jesus. So they crawled up on the roof, tore a hole in the roof, and lowered their friend down on his mat. Well, when Jesus saw this display of faith, he looked at the young man, the paralytic, and said, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Now, there was lots of religious leaders there that day, and those religious leaders started scratching their heads, and they were thinking, this man is saying blasphemous things because only God has authority to forgive sins. So what was Jesus declaring about himself in that statement? That he was co-equal with God the Father, and that he had the same authority to forgive sins that God the Father does. So that is a crucial story in this idea that Jesus claimed to be God. That is one yes. clear-cut example of him doing so. He never stood on a platform. He never yelled out, "Hey, folks, I'm God." But he used stories like that to make that claim very, very clear. So he said the Son of Man is going to come on a cloud. He used that in Matthew 24, and that was in reference to Daniel chapter 7. What was he saying? That he was that guy. He was yes. God in human flesh. So there's subtle ways that Jesus made that claim, and the writers of the New Testament concurred and came to the point and declared that God, that Jesus and the Father are one. So use some of those stories, but realize as you speak, they're going to dig their spurs deeper into the ground, and they're there to try to convince you, to convert you, to bring you into their flock. But you stand firm. You deliver the word of God, and I would open up the Bible. I wouldn't try to explain it to them out of your understanding. I would actually open up the Bible and read the words of God to them and let the word of God do its work. It has more power than your explanation, your persuasion, your abilities to argue or debate. Just open up the Bible, read the Bible to them, and then leave the results in God's hands.
Christian, hope that's a help to you. And friends, we love hearing from you, our listeners. If you have a question, drop it to us at bob@basicgospel.net or call that number, as Christian did, 844-322-2742. It's available 24 hours daily, and we would love to address your question on an edition of Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. You know, telling the story as often as we can to as many people as we can so that their hearts, too, can rest in the forgiveness of sins and in the righteousness they have by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's our goal at Basic Gospel, and we need your help, friends, to keep telling the story. As our thanks to you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month, we want you to have a copy of our new DVD series. It's called The Reformation Project, 5 Truths That Ignited the Protestant Reformation, Truths That Also Ignite Reformation in the Human Heart. Again, The Reformation Project. Request your copy when you send your October gift to Basic Gospel. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or give by phone at 844-322-2742, and we're going to send you a copy of The Reformation Project. Again, 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net. Well, guys, a question from Corey who dropped us a note through the Basic Gospel app, and we hope you'll take advantage of doing that too and staying connected with the ministry through the app. But Corey says, "I've been pondering the question of the state of the Old Testament center. I know that the saints such as Abraham, David, and Ezekiel, those are the ones he was referring to. Yet what about those who are not off the old covenant law of Israel, the ones of other nations who did not know of the God of Israel, or even those who knew of him yet weren't part of the covenant? When Jesus died on the cross, did his blood and grace get offered to them as well? Surely in their death they didn't just cease to exist. In Christ's death, while he was 3 days and 3 nights in hell, is it possible that he preached salvation and grace to those who died who didn't know God? Was grace offered when it became available at his death to the pagan nations who died in the time before Christ? It seems unjust not to offer grace to them simply because of the period of time in which they were born. Thank you for your submission to the death-defeating message of the cross of Jesus. That's a nice phrase. I like that.
Yes, yes, indeed. Well, thank you, Corey, for your question. Salvation has always been by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So Abraham is just going about his life. God shows up in his life and reveals something to him, reveals a little bit of himself to Abraham, and then fills Abraham with promises and blessings. And one of those promises was that through Abraham's seed, many nations would come, and the world would be blessed.
Yes.
Well, who is the seed? Well, that was a promise about Jesus. So the story about Jesus started to be unfolded at that very moment in time. And when God gave the promise about the seed, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So it's always been a response of faith. So in Hebrews chapter 11, when the writer looks at those saints from the Old Testament, we see that every single one of them was commended for their faith, including Rahab,
yes,
who was of a Gentile nation. So the knowledge of God has always existed in the world. There has never been a human being that has been totally blind to the fact that God exists. God has made his invisible attributes known through nature. Paul writes about that in Romans chapter 1, so that no man can stand before him and give an excuse. No one has an excuse. If I had only known, every single person that has ever lived has had some information about God that they could respond to.
Yeah.
And we have to count on that. In this series on the Reformation Project, you looked at the grace of God,
yeah,
grace alone. And you looked at a passage in Titus that said the grace of God has appeared to all men.
Yes.
That's true, isn't
it? It's true.
And the word all means all, not some,
uh-huh,
not just folks that were in Israel at the time, but it says all men. Why? God is big enough to make himself known to all men in every corner of the world and in every time of human history. So no one can stand before God and say, if only I had known. They all know. Why? Because God ensured that. God said, I am going to reveal myself. Some are going to receive, some are going to refuse. Those who refuse know that they've refused and have held their hand up and say, I'm going to do it on my own. That's what we know from the Word of God.
Absolutely. Well, Bob, tell our listeners from your perspective about this new DVD series called The Reformation Project.
Well, it is exciting. Boy, Richard and I had so much fun putting, yes, this together, really taking a deep dive. I think you and I are probably going to get more out of this,
yeah,
than anyone else.
Saved all over,
yeah,
again.
One, the character Martin Luther is quite a character.
Yeah.
And, you know, his courage to stand up against the church of the day and say, we've got to be bound by Scripture alone. And we've got to tell the story every day about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I just long for people like that today that will stand up and say, let's tell the story of Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, that's the character of Martin Luther. And that persistence, that courage sparked the Protestant Reformation. And much of what we believe today came from that. They rediscovered the truths that change human lives.
Absolutely. Well, it's called The Reformation Project. It's a DVD, and we would love for you to have a copy of it. And as you make your gift to Basic Gospel this month, we'll send you a copy. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or call that number, 844-322-2742. Well, that's it for today, everybody. Now for Bob Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.